For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Cavs head coach J.B. Bickerstaff, and you're listening to the Kenny and JT Show on News Talk 1480 WHBC.
I'm wondering, JT, if we'll be able to play that next year. Will he still be the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, or is this the last few weeks that we'll be able to play that drop with J.B. Bickerstaff? And to talk about that and all things Cavaliers and NBA, let's go to the hotline right now and bring in the outstanding senior NBA and Cavs writer for HoopsWire.com. Follow him on Twitter at Amico Hoops. He is Sam Amico. Sam, am I being too hard on J.B. Bickerstaff there or no?
That's a very fair question, Kenny. It's very fair to wonder that because I think, as you guys know, that when you've lost, what, 8 of 11 or something going into the final week of the regular season, obviously snapped a three-game skid last night, but not been real good lately. Expectations are to get to at least the second round this year. If you don't do that, you're a coach on the hot seat. That's just the way the league works. It's not us saying that. It's the way of pro sports.
Sam, I told Kenny 2 days ago, I said, we've got to get Sam Amico on. I saw one of your podcasts, and that's what really piqued my interest about J.B. Bickerstaff. And let's face it, we said the same thing before they got on two big, long winning streaks during the regular season. And we always know that the regular season doesn't mean much, and that's one of the reasons why getting into the playoffs – I really want a shot at the Knicks, because if you get that team and they're banged up and still get beat by the Knicks, I think he's gone.
Yeah, JT, there's a number of scenarios in which, you know, JB would be let go. And I think any first round loss would probably do it if, you know, given if they stay healthy or I just think the way that they've kind of backed into the postseason, you know, and kind of gone in reverse since the All-Star break. Granted, you had the injury to Donovan Mitchell, but I just think that there's larger things at play where they haven't played well, haven't just responded to the coaching so well. Because if you guys, as you guys know, defense has been their calling card, really. And they haven't been defending as well. Now, this isn't all on J.B. Bickerstaff, but again, this is pro sports, and you're not going to fire the players. So I think it's vital that they do get out of the first round. And I think if they do get out of the first round, he's got a pretty good shot to keep the job. Mm-hmm. But it's really going to be contingent on how well they do in the playoffs.
Sam, first and foremost, I want to walk into this thing and say that I don't recommend just firing a coach because they're not playing well. But you made a comment, they're not responding to coaching, and they wouldn't fire players, or would they? Because my point is, and I told Kenny this as well, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Is this a matter of talent? Is it a matter of them not being coached? Are they not coachable, or is it a question of talent?
I can tell you the Cavaliers don't believe, the front office doesn't believe it's a matter of talent. They went out and got these pieces, and they won 17 of 18 in January. Now, I think part of that, we're all questioning, are they as good of a team with Darius Garland, right? Mm. As good of an individual player as he is, he's a good guy. He's not a problem. But sometimes something just doesn't fit. And it's time to wonder if it's Darius Garland, I think, in a lot of people's opinion. And again, good guy, good player. It's just, does he fit with Donovan Mitchell? It doesn't really seem that way very often this season. Darius Garland's had a really down year for him, probably his worst year since his rookie year. So, you know, you factor in that he's the guy who's the quarterback for the most part of the basketball team as the point guard. I think that there are questions, JT, to answer your question, about the talent and about the fit of the talent. But I think that the front office thinks we went out and got these guys. We won 17 of 18 in January. So what has changed? What's gone askew since then? And, you know, I think those are questions they're going to be asking this offseason.
Happy to have with us Sam Amico, fabulous NBA writer for HoopsWire.com. Follow him on Twitter at Amico Hoops. And Sam, share with our listeners to, I know, Press Play, the podcast there, your video podcast now that you're doing, like when you're done with this show, you'll tape one tonight. Share where they can find all that.
Yeah, HoopsWire.com, Cavs on the Break on the Press Play podcast network that you're a member of as well with Michael Ray Guy Kenny. And then I do the 330 to go Facebook show, 6 o'clock Thursdays. It's live, but you can catch it anytime on YouTube or Facebook. And that's basically my HoopsWire.com show. So, it's always a lot of fun, and you know, I'm always lining up guests. So you guys know how that works.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Trust me, very, very much so. Sam, let's talk about these final two games, right? Indiana, the biggest of these last two games, tomorrow night at home. Then they close with a crappy Charlotte team. So the game that means the most, in my opinion, is this Indiana game. How do you like their matchup head-to-head against Indiana tomorrow night if everybody that played yesterday is playing again tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tough, you know? I mean, you talk about the Pacers have been hot lately, and if they should win this game, this would give them an opportunity to finish in the top three or four anyway, the Pacers, in the Eastern Conference. After being in the, you know, 6 to 7, 8 range all year, this would give them an opportunity to move up. It would help them avoid the play-in tournament. So they're going to be very determined, and they're very talented. The Cavs, this is a must-win game. It really is. It's almost like game one of the NBA playoffs, because if you win this game, you pretty much assure yourself of a top four seed. You have to beat Charlotte, too. But if you win this game, I think the Cavs are going to finish third or fourth, probably fourth in the Eastern Conference, which gives you home court advantage. Indiana will fall back. That won't be a problem for you. You won't have to worry about that. And then, you know, if you should beat Charlotte, then maybe you have a shot at third. But this is the key game. This is the biggest game of regular game of the season, because it's truly like a playoff game, because all of your positioning is riding on this. And guys, if they lose this game, they may end up sixth in the Eastern Conference, which is unthinkable at one point this year, you know. But if they end up sixth in the Eastern Conference, lose this game, I just don't think it's going to bode well in the first round.
Sam, you hit a little bit on Darius Garland. Obviously, Jared Allen, he's a double-double machine. He's fine if you really consider the fact that you got to have a center anyway, but most centers aren't a big deal in the NBA anymore. Donovan Mitchell seemed to be coming along pretty well because he forgot his mask, and I think it showed that he played better last night. I'm really interested in your thoughts on Evan Mobley. Has he progressed enough in your eyes to become maybe an all-star in the next maybe year or two?
Well, he has all-star potential. I think we all know that, but he's not an all-star. So why is that? Okay, granted, a lot of injuries this year. And I will say this, guys, it seems in today's NBA, we used to say that in year three is when you can get a really good gauge of where a player is going to be for the rest of his career. Well, right. Now the guys are coming in so young, I think it's year four. Okay, so Mobley's in year three. I haven't seen him really take the next steps offensively. Part of that is, and I don't know if this is on him or on the Cavs, he's not getting the shots. You know, he's shooting about 11 times a game, which if you're going to have a star power forward, you need to find a way to get him around 14, 15 shots a game. And he's not been doing that. I don't think that he's developed offensively. He's a little bit better three-point shooter. Now, granted, the sample size is very small, and that's okay. Just has to be able to hit a few. So I do like how he's improved this three-point shooting. Everything else has just kind of been flat, I would say, offensively. And I just think that he needs to be more aggressive, and the Cavs need to be more aggressive in getting him the ball. Defensively, he's fantastic. But offensively, I think people, guys, am I wrong here? We kind of all were expecting a little bit more. I mean, people were talking like the Kevin Garnett or Chris Bosh or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's, you know, it's not that.
I was this year. I was, JT will remember this. Beginning of the season, I'm saying they should run the offense through Evan Mobley, that this has to be the year that he explodes and get him more involved. And I just have been disappointed both in Mobley and Darius Garland. But yet, Sam, and maybe we're making too much of this, through all of this complaining we're doing, they're number four in the East, and they could finish number three in the East, right? So, I mean, how do you view this team right now?
Yeah, that's a great point, Kenny. I've said this all along. They win these three home games to close the season. They already won one of them. They got two more. You win those two. It's hard to complain. This team has taken another step, right? So, you know, it's all going to come down to what they do in the postseason. But, you know, if the Cavs get a first-round matchup with the Orlando Magic, who are very young and are much in the same position the Cavs were last season, I like the Cavs' chances. So they win these final three games and get out of the first round. You know, and I don't think that a first-round matchup with the Knicks or Miami Heat or somebody like that is an automatic loss if you have home court advantage. I think that this team has the potential to step it up because they are finishing with potentially a top four seed in an Eastern Conference that's been very tough this year. So, yeah, there's room to grow. Let's put it that way. But how do they get to that next level? I think we'll find out when it really gets, we get down to business in the playoffs.
Sam, what's the deal with Dean Wade? I mean, that offense seems to run better when he's – I mean, I know he's coming off the bench. Sometimes he's a spot starter because of the injuries. But are we going to see Dean Wade in these last two games?
No, I don't think so. I don't think – I'd be surprised if we saw him again this season.
Wow.
I don't know exactly what the injury is, but it was a weird thing, right? Because, I mean, he missed a few games for personal reasons. Which I believe was the birth of a child. And then he came back, and before he ever even played, he had a serious knee injury. And it's just really been a true mystery. I mean, you think about him and Ty Jerome, about how this has just been total mystery with these guys. And I don't know why. We've covered this before. I don't know why they feel the need to be so secretive. We just want to know.
Right.
You know, how is it going to impact the free world, if you tell us what's going on with Dean Wade? How is it going to impact anything if you tell us about Ty Jerome, who's only played a game and a quarter? You know, and I just don't understand. But I would be surprised if we see either of those. And you're right, JT. You know, Dean Wade isn't going to score a lot, but he's an outside threat, and he's really one of the top wing defenders on that team.
Nobody has been more disappointed, Sam Amico, in Ty Jerome than my partner, JT.
I knew that was coming.
I don't know. Maybe he had a leg amputated. I don't know. They haven't said.
It's unreal.
Go through the injury report, and I always tell Kenny, he's like, what's up with Donovan Mitchell? What's up with Darius Garland? I go, who cares? Ty Jerome's still out.
Yeah, well, that is the biggest mystery, one of the bigger mysteries of the NBA season. You sign the guy. Mm-hmm. You shut him down after a game. He really played like two quarters, okay, all season. And then he's been shut down since. And I just don't know what type of injury a person would have that would keep you out about 6-7 months. I just don't know, aside from a torn Achilles or an ACL tear. And he has neither of those as far as we know.
All right, Sam, I'm going to give you the way I feel about the Cavaliers in the playoffs. I told JT this. The teams I want to avoid because I still think we're soft. I still think we're a finesse team, and we will get shoved around if we play the Heat, the Sixers, or the Knicks. So I want to play the Magic or the Pacers. I think we stand a chance in a 7-game series against Orlando or Indiana, especially if we have home court. I think we get beat no matter where we play, if we play the Knicks, the Pacers, the Heat, or the 76ers. Am I crazy for thinking that way because you have to show me before I believe it or no?
No, absolutely right. I stand right on with you. Especially the Sixers are not going to be your typical six or, you know, six seed or five seed if they get that far. Because they, you know, they struggled without Joel Embiid, and guess who's back? So, I'm with you, Kenny. Show me before I believe it. The Miami Heat, you know, they came in as the play-in team last year. We're 2.5 minutes from being eliminated from the play-in tournament. This is a team that plays their best in the postseason. And I would not want to face them, even if I'm the Boston Celtics in the first round. So, yeah, I would not like the Cavs' chances against those more veteran teams. The Knicks, yeah, even without Julius Randle, that's a team that scares me for the Cavs because they are, Kenny, you're right. They're very physical. They seem to have the Cavs' number. Tom Thibodeau really, really knows how to defend Donovan Mitchell, and that was a problem last year, and I could foresee that being a problem again. So, you know, it's not going to be easy. I think even if they have Indiana and home court advantage, that could go seven. I do like their chances, the easiest series, and, you know, be careful what you wish for. But I think if they got the Orlando Magic, that would be the best-case scenario. Nothing against the Magic. It's right. Just I think the Cavs are a better, more experienced team.
I agree with you 100% on that, Sam. What about the Milwaukee Bucks now that Giannis, we call it a Lonnie Chisenhall, because Lonnie Chisenhall was known for one thing when he played for the Indians, and that was always being hurt with either a right calf or a left calf injury. So anytime somebody comes down with a calf injury, we call it a Lonnie Chisenhall. What do you think the chances of Milwaukee are with a not 100% dealing with a Chisenhall, Giannis Antetokounmpo, as right now the number two seed, but who knows where they'll end up as well.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks, other than that win over Boston the other night, are a mess. And you think we complain about the Cavs a lot. Just imagine losing to the Memphis Grizzlies and Washington Wizards on back-to-back nights if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, which is what they did last week. So this is a team, you know, that's really remade itself a little bit in terms of coaching, having the coaching change from Mike Budenholzer to Adrian Griffin to now Doc Rivers. I just don't know. They're not a team that I would probably, if you're going to have to play one of this group, the Bucks, the Knicks, or the Heat, if I'm the Cavs, I would choose the Bucks because they just don't seem like they have that toughness about them, even though they have a ring from a couple years ago, just aren't the same unit, especially to me without Drew Holiday, seemed like a different team. So I'll say this, Kenny, if Giannis doesn't come back, they're probably getting beat in the first round. If he does come back, if he does come back, and I suspect he's going to try to play, I wouldn't give them a guarantee to get out of the first round that way either, because just not. To me, there's just something missing. They're a team that remind me of the Cleveland Browns. Could win the lose in the first round of the playoffs, or go all the way to the NBA Finals, which is what I said about the Browns in the playoffs last year. So nothing would surprise me with the Bucks, but just not real together right now, it seems.
So many comparisons can be made to the Cleveland Browns football team, because if there's ever been a team that's gone through more adversity as far as injury is concerned, might be the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you look at this team, and Browns made their way into the playoffs. Cavaliers going to make their way into the playoffs as well. Sam, I've got to ask you this question because I don't know the next time that we may speak, and it may be after the Cavaliers may be ousted from the playoffs. Who knows? But is there a coach out there, if they do decide to go in a different direction, that you'd like to see as the head coach of the Cavaliers, if it's not J.B. Bickerstaff?
Well, I mean, you know, the name that's out there that's the biggest name is Mike Budenholzer, who won a lot in Atlanta, finished with the best record in the NBA one year with the Hawks. Obviously, that team lost to LeBron James' Cavs in the playoffs, but his teams are always good. They're always competitive. And, of course, he won a championship with the Milwaukee Bucks. Surprising that they let him go at the end of last year. I think that's a guy. The teams always move the ball very well, his teams do. So That's one name. Now, granted, you know, there's going to be some openings. There's obviously opening in Charlotte and Washington, and Brooklyn, and those names are, he's going to be tied to all those. I don't know about Luke Walton. He's sitting right there, you know, mm-hmm. as JB's top assistant. Would he become a candidate? Potentially former Lakers and Kings coach. I don't know, but you know, off the top of my head, JT, the guy I think of is Budenholzer. Comes from that Greg Popovich coaching tree, and his teams win. They always win. There's never any drama, and they always just play well. And you know, he's going to get hired by somebody at the end of this season. I just don't know who.
Sam, did you stay up and watch any of Minnesota and Denver last night by chance?
I started to, and then the cable went out. I saw the majority of it, and then missed the end. But I did see, you know, I saw the highlights with Jokic and all those guys.
Are they still the team to beat? I picked them before the season started in one of my futures bets on my app to go back-to-back because I think they have the best starting five. My only concern with them is their bench after losing one of their key players last year in free agency off the bench. But they seem to be handling things well, and right now they control their own destiny in the West with the number one seed.
I do like the Nuggets. I think they're a very likable team. You know, they have, and I think that's because even though they're in a, you know, bigger market, they're almost considered a small market team because Denver's not been a big basketball city. The Nuggets don't get a lot of love and praise traditionally. You know, they're kind of one of those teams that always flies under the radar. But with Jokic and Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., I just think all of those guys, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, their shooting guard, isn't a big name, but he does so many of the little things well. But you're right, Kenny, their bench is probably a weak spot. But Jokic just is one of those guys who can put you over the top. He can help you overcome setbacks to, you know, weaker benches or injuries or anything like that. He's always been a good player. Now he's at that level of, you know, the guy, the super duper star who will carry you to championships. And because of that, I really think that, yeah, I would be surprised if anybody in the West beats Denver. And I think there are a lot of really good teams in the West, but I just think Jokic kind of puts you on another level. So I'm with you there, Kenny. I wouldn't say I'd be surprised, but I would probably pick Denver to beat Boston as well if they both reach the finals.
And let me throw this your way too, Sam, before we let you go. I like Denver coming out of the West. I picked Boston coming out of the East, but I have my doubts with their coach and their toughness, okay? With a healthy Joel Embiid back, right? Could Philadelphia end up being that team that, and what if they play in the first round, right? Right out of the gate, Sam, that's a possibility. Could Philadelphia be that team that upsets the entire apple cart in the East with a healthy Joel Embiid back?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Philadelphia, obviously with Embiid, him being healthy, Tyrese Maxey has taken a huge step this year, all-star this year, just really have really played together as a team. Nick Nurse, former Raptors coach, has a championship. You know, I just like what I've seen more out of Philadelphia this year when Embiid is healthy than I have in any of the other recent Embiid seasons. So, yes, Kenny, absolutely. Philadelphia, to me, is a player. I'm going to say again, Miami is a player. I don't know about the Knicks because the Knicks, without Julius Randle, that's going to be tough. But I would say, you know, forget Miami's regular season. I think that they could beat Boston in a seven-game series. I'm not saying they will. I think they could. I think Philadelphia could. I don't know about the Milwaukee Bucks or the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Sam, always great stuff. We appreciate the time you make for us. Keep up the great work on the various podcasts and at hoopswire.com, and we look forward to chatting with you during the playoffs, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, and we will chat at you soon.
Sounds great. There he is, Sam Amico. Follow him on Twitter, @AmicoHoops. Read him daily at HoopsWire.com.